Reading from Canto 4. What is Canto 4 called? Creation of the Fourth Order. Chapter 31, it's called the sacrifice performed by Daksha. Text number 31.
Brahmovacha.
Brahmovacha.
Naitat swarupam bhavato saupadartha.
Naitat swarupam bhavato saupadartha.
Veda grahe puruso yavat ikshet.
Veda grahe puruso yavat ikshet.
Jnanasya chartasya gunasya chasrayo.
Jnanasya chartasya gunasya chasrayo.
Maya maya vyatirikto matastvam.
Word for word translation. Brahma Uvacha. Lord Brahma say. Na. Not. Etat. This. Swarupam. Eternal form. Bhavataha. Your. Asav. That other. Pada Artha. Knowledge. Veda. Different. Grahe. By the acquiring. Purushaha. Person. Yavat. As long as. Ikshe. Wants to see. Jnanasya. Of knowledge. Cha. Also. Arthasya. Of the objective. Gunasya.
Of the
instruments
of knowledge.
Cha.
Also.
Ashraya.
The basis.
Maya. Mayat.
From being.
Made of.
Material energy.
Vyatiriktaha. Distinct. Mataha.
Regarded.
Tvam.
You.
Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma said, "My dear Lord, your personality and eternal form cannot be understood by any person who is trying to know you through the different processes of acquiring knowledge. Your position is always transcendental to the material creation, whereas the empiric attempt to understand you is material, as are its objectives and instruments." Translation responsively. Lord Brahma said,
"My dear Lord,
your personality,
and eternal form
cannot be understood
by any person
who is trying to know
you
through the different processes
of acquiring knowledge.
Your position is
always transcendental
to the material creation,
whereas
the empiric attempt
to understand you
is material,
as are
its objectives
and instruments."
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is said that the transcendental name, qualities, activities, paraphernalia, etc. of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be understood with our material senses. The attempt of the empiric philosophers to understand the absolute truth by speculation is always futile, because their process of understanding, their objective, and the instruments by which they try to understand the absolute truth are all material. The Lord is a prakrita, beyond the creation of the material world. This fact is also accepted by the great impersonalist Shankaracharya, Narayanaha paro vyakta, andam avyakta sambhavam. Avyakta, or the original material cause is beyond this material manifestation and is the cause of the material world. Because Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is beyond the material world, one cannot speculate upon him by any material method. One has to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by the transcendental method of Krishna consciousness. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18.55. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. Only by devotional service can one understand the transcendental form of the Lord. The difference between the impersonalists and the personalists is that the impersonalists, limited by their speculative processes, cannot even approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas the devotees please the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his transcendental loving service. Sevan Mukhehi, due to the service attitude of the devotee, the Lord is revealed to him. The Supreme Lord cannot be understood by materialistic persons, even though he is present before them. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna therefore condemns such materialists as mudas. Mudas means rascal. It is said in the Gita, only rascals think of Lord Krishna as an ordinary person. They do not know what Lord Krishna's position is or what his transcendental potencies are. Unaware of his transcendental potencies, the impersonalists deride the person of Lord Krishna, whereas the devotees, by dint of their service attitude, can understand him as the personality of Godhead. In the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna also confirmed that it is very difficult to understand the personality of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kudamahyam Dadati Swa Padantikam Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation once again. Lord Brahma said, my dear Lord, your personality and eternal form cannot be understood by any person who is trying to know you through the different processes of acquiring knowledge. Your position is always transcendental to the material creation, whereas the empiric attempt to understand you is material, as are its objectives and instruments. Hare Krishna. Lord Krishna is very, 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 very merciful to us. Yeah? Because originally, excuse me if I sit like this, my back is painful, so I have to support it. So originally, we were all serving the Lord lovingly in the spiritual world with unalloyed devotional service. But then, we wanted to enjoy separate from the Lord. And in that, we misused our minute independence and we chose to leave him from the spiritual world. The Lord, of course, facilitated that separation, not because he wanted to, because he wanted to fulfill our desire. And he facilitated that separation by creating the material world. And the material world is a creation of his inferior energy, is Bahiranga Shakti. And within the material world, we have entered, we have been going through millenniums trillions of lifetimes, going through the repeated cycle of birth, death, old age and disease. And we are getting more and more entangled in the modes of material nature. But the Lord didn't forsake us, didn't abandon us. He actually followed and He came. He personally came. Swayam Bhagavan Himself came in His Swarup. He came 5,000 years ago, and when He came from His Paravyoma Vrindavan up there, He brought His abode, His Vrindavan, and created Boma Vrindavan here. And He did not come alone. He came with His various associates, His paraphernalia, His qualities, everything about Him. He came completely. And He enacted sweet, sweet pastimes while present here, all for the sake of awakening our dormant love for Him. To give us the opportunity to awaken that love for Him and to realize our mistake of leaving Him in the first place and to go back to Him. And in that process, He brought all His associates, and there have been many expansions of Krishna, there have been many incarnations of Krishna, there have been many plenary expansions like Lord Kapila, His incarnations like Lord Narsingadev, Kurma Avatar, so many. And all of them come to actually serve this purpose of giving us the mercy to awaken our love to help us reconnect with Krishna. And this pastime here now that we are reading, the Daksha pastime, is similar in that sense that the Lord has arranged for His empowered devotees and His expansions like Lord Shiva to actually conduct this drama. Actually, for them it's a drama. For us, it's hitting home. Remember, this is happening, this Daksha pastime is happening long, long time ago, when in the early stages of creation. As this canto says, creation is just in the fourth order. So, Lord Shiva came, Daksha has come, Sati, Lord Brahma is there, the demigods are there in this pastime. Lord Vishnu Himself has appeared now, and they are playing this drama, which at that time may not have been so relevant, but today is so apt, we can relate to it so well. Yes? So, what's happening here is, the Lord is in the process of Him coming down, in the process of His expansion, there's all His empowered devotees all coming down, He is bringing down the knowledge as well. Knowledge of the absolute truth can only be revealed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only He knows about Himself. And He's come down, He has spoken the Gita, direct from His mouth to His dear disciple and friend Arjuna, for the benefit of all mankind, all jivas, all conditioned entities. And knowledge, real knowledge, comes down from the original source Himself in a disciplic chain, which means knowledge is real, authoritative, it's bona fide. In contrast, we have today material knowledge in the material world, as I said, within a bubble which is all made up of the inferior energy of the Lord. How can there be complete knowledge to actually surpass the real knowledge which is descending? And what Prabhupada is saying in the purport here, materialists, they actually try to speculate about God through their limited intelligence. They do many, many wonderful experiments. They conduct many, many hypotheses. Thomas Edison, the inventor of the light bulb, when it was first invented, he went through many, 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 many experiments before he finally came to discovering one light bulb. Inventing one light bulb. Right? So, with that limited knowledge, we are trying to actually give completeness from an incomplete perspective, illogical. And this is all being done through the material senses. So, Lord is up there, we left him. He is bringing down the knowledge. He is empowering his various personalities, his pure devotees to conduct these wonderful pastimes for our benefit. So what's happening in this pastime? So far, we are now almost reaching the conclusion. Yeah? This is already chapter 7. In which chapter did this pastime start? You all have been sitting here through many, many classes of this pastime, the Bhagavatam class. So now it's like time to revise. Which chapter did it start? Some are checking their phones. Chapter 2, wonderful. Hare Krishna. It started in chapter 2. Alright? And we won't go into the details, we saw how Daksha behaved in the way that he did and how it is all now coming to a conclusion. But what are the lessons and what is the knowledge that we have gained so far up to this point? Talk to me. Come, talk to me. I want to make this interactive. So what have you learned?
We should not do Vaishnava Aparad.
Yes, very good. We should not commit Vaishnava Aparad. And we saw that in how beginning King Daksha was so offensive to Lord Shiva by hurling abusive words just because Lord Shiva did not stand up when Daksha entered the sacrificial arena. Good point. What else have we learned so far?
Not to judge someone by their external appearance.
Do not judge a book by its cover and their acts. Yes, wonderful point. Okay, because who is Lord Shiva? And what that point really Prabhu is saying is, Daksha hurled abuses at Lord Shiva. But who is Lord Shiva? Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. Yes, very good. Okay. But ontologically, in the spiritual hierarchy, who is Lord Shiva?
Sadashiv.
Okay. And he expanded as Shambhu. And from Shambhu, Lord Shiva entered into the material world as Lord Shiva. Yes? So he's so much more exalted than Daksha himself. So we should never judge a person just by their external appearance. You never know how deep and how exalted they are. All of you could be demigods or even more exalted personalities. You're probably just here to give me mercy. Right? What else have we learned? Revision time. Come on. The whole purpose of sitting through a Bhagavatam class or hearing a Bhagavatam class wherever people are at their homes right now, probably now logged in online, is to what? Hear and remember and to process within, to meditate. So once we hear, we got to remember. So what have we remembered so far? Come, talk to me. What else?
Lord Shiva advised Sata not to go.
Yes.
She wasn't able to follow his instructions.
Yes, the importance of taking instructions. Yes, it's not, we have already made the mistake of leaving the spiritual world, of misusing our independence. And having come here, when we are getting this advice from exalted personalities to actually obey instructions, why do we want to repeat that mistake that we did anyway, that made us fall down? So we have to obey instructions. That's good. Very good. What else? Forbearance. Tolerance. How Lord Shiva tolerated all the abuse. Right? Teaching us good qualities of how to be a devotee. Daksha taught us how not to be as a human being. But now, see the transformation, the conclusion, Daksha is showing how the change needs to take place, how we should apply knowledge to actually transform from a material perspective to come to this spiritual platform. There's one more interesting aspect of this whole pastime. What is the setting of this pastime? Where is it taking place? Normally, there is this common thread which is flowing, the sacrificial arena, correct? The place where the yagya is taking place. Remember when Daksha first entered the arena to abuse Lord Shiva? It was in the yagya stali. And then now in the conclusion, where is it taking place? Same place, sacrificial arena. And then when yagya was conducting the yagya, Sati left the body where? Sacrificial arena. Daksha lost his body where? Sacrificial arena. So, we know the whole purpose, the objective of conducting yagyas is to please Vishnu, Krishna. Ultimately Krishna. Right? Daksha first started without that objective. But now, we see the conclusion, he is actually conducting the, he is going to conduct the yagya in with the purpose to actually please Lord Vishnu who has appeared. So, but yagya as we know is very, very, very difficult or virtually impossible for this yuga, for this Kali Yuga. And Lord Chaitanya has recommended the best yagya for this Kali Yuga is Sankirtan Yagya, okay, which is the chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because conducting a yagya is very, very difficult. There are so many prerequisites which must be fulfilled. There must be, of course, the yagya arena, yagya place, which must be all super clean, as we have read in the previous passages. Then all the demigods must be invited. If any one of them missed, the yagya is incomplete. Right? The brahmanas who are there, they must be pakka, pakka in chanting the mantras with such potency that when the sacrificial animal is actually offered into the yagya, it gets rejuvenated with a new life. Yes? And in fact, the potency of the chanting is tested in that way to see whether the brahmanas are really good at chanting the mantras. Then the sacrificial offering must be equally distributed to everyone. Nobody must be left out. So there are so many prerequisites, it's virtually impossible for us to do it. Therefore, we chant Hare Krishna. But interestingly, when Lord Shiva and his followers, they got angry, they messed up the whole yagya arena, and messed up the whole ceremony. Then we saw how Virabhadra was trying to teach Daksha the lesson and trying to actually kill him. How did Virabhadra actually kill Daksha? Who remembers? Virabhadra sat on Daksha's chest, took various kinds of weapons, and was trying to cut him off, cut his head off. Okay? Nothing happened. Then Virabhadra started chanting mantras. Nothing happened. Then he started chanting mantras and taking various weapons and cutting the head. Did not even scratch the skin. Then Virabhadra saw the wooden device which is normally used in yagyas to actually kill or sacrifice the animal into the yagya. He took that wooden device and then he could behead Daksha. And what happened to the head? The head was thrown into the yagya, into the sacrificial fire. So what does this mean? Daksha really got offered into sacrifice. Isn't it? There was the chanting of the mantra. There was a body which was offered. The appropriate wooden device was used. But all these took place in an improper, imperfect way. Therefore, the outcome, the result is also imperfect in the sense that Daksha got the head of a goat. You see? So imperfect approach, service results in imperfect results. So having got the head of a goat, by the causeless mercy of the Lord, Daksha retained his intelligence from his previous body. So now he's got the body of a human with the head of a goat. But his intelligence is retained because he could remember, as soon as he came to consciousness, he could remember everything about what he was in his previous life, and immediately he starts seeking forgiveness from Lord Shiva. Yes? So what does that mean? He's now got the head of a goat. Really, he should have the head of an... he should have the intelligence of a goat if intelligence resides in the brain. But he is retaining his original intelligence. Therefore, intelligence does not reside in the brain. It actually resides in consciousness. Intelligence resides in consciousness. And consciousness means Atma, the soul. The soul is situated in the region of the heart, next to the Paramatma. So therefore, intelligence is really situated in the heart region, not in the brain. And Prabhupada actually described this in one of the earlier purports. So, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna actually tells Arjuna.
Sorry, Prabhu, mind up?
No, not during class, after class. No, I do mind, it's after class. Okay? So, in Bhagavad Gita, where was I?
Intelligence resides in the heart.
Yeah, intelligence resides in the heart, okay, in consciousness. In consciousness. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text number 42, Krishna actually tells Arjuna, Indriyani parani ahur, indriyebhya param manaha, manasastu para buddhir, yo buddhi parasastu saha. Indriyani parani ahur. Working senses are superior to dull matter. Indriyebhya param manaha. The mind is superior to the working senses. Manasastu para buddhi. Intelligence is superior to the mind. Then finally, yo buddhir parasastu sa, it means the soul is superior to intelligence. And Prabhupada, in that purport of that text, he actually explains, using intelligence, understand the constitutional position of the soul in relationship to Krishna and engage the mind in Krishna consciousness. So how to engage the mind in Krishna consciousness? Using intelligence. And which means we got to use our senses. But here we see in this verse where Prabhupada says in the purport, first line, it is said that the transcendental name, qualities, activities, paraphernalia, etc. of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be understood with our material senses. So there seems to be an apparent contradiction. So on one hand, Krishna says, use your senses to actually realize Godness, use your senses to actually come to the stage of spiritual platform. And at the same time, he's saying, material, it cannot be used to actually learn about something superior. You cannot realize God. So how to understand or how to reconcile that? Material senses remain material as long as they are not connected to Krishna. So the trigger, the basic quality needed to connect to Krishna is faith, Shraddha. That is the differentiating factor between a devotee and a normal materialist. There are many people out there and they have the same senses as us. But we are here and we are applying our senses in devotional service. If you get a materialist from out there, invite them to the temple, and both you and your invitee, your friend, whoever, are looking at the deity, they will be seeing from a different perspective at that mundane level of just applying their senses. They would appreciate the beauty of the Lord. But when we see the Lord every morning, we go at a deeper level because we are connecting our senses in devotional service. That's the secret. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we know that Sri Sanatana Goswami got the mercy from Lord Chaitanya to be personally instructed by Lord Chaitanya in Varanasi for 2 months. And in that 2 months, Lord Chaitanya actually disseminated all the information about Krishna consciousness to Sri Sanatana Goswami, right from Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. Sambandha, the constitutional relationship of the soul to Krishna. Abhideya, the process of devotional service, Krishna consciousness. And Prayojana, the love of Godhead, the goal. All that. And in that teaching, during that, it was of course like question and answer, and Sanatana Goswami actually asked Lord Chaitanya, "My Lord, I have heard that you have described the Atmaram verse from the Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, verse number 10. You have described that verse to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in 18 different ways. Can you please explain that to me?" Lord Chaitanya then explains that to Sanatana Goswami in 61 different perspectives, and in that he actually emphasizes the position of devotional service. He says, because of the all attractive qualities of Lord Krishna, the position of devotional service is so sublime that it is more powerful than the happiness that one gets from material sense gratification, having all the powers of mystic yoga, and even surpasses liberation. And he says, Lord Chaitanya tells Sanatana Goswami, devotional service is for everyone. Lord Chaitanya gives mercy to everyone. And he says, no matter what the position of the conditioned living entity, whether it is so exalted in the material world or it is an insignificant conditioned living entity, it is still capable of being attached to that devotional service if it gets the association of a pure devotee. So, we see Lord Shiva is now the pure devotee who is giving mercy to Daksha. Sanatana Goswami himself is getting mercy and getting purified from Lord Chaitanya in this pastime. And in that darshan, Lord Chaitanya actually goes on to actually explain or elaborate that how important a guru is in the life of a devotee by relating the pastime of Mrigari the hunter. We know that pastime, yes? Mrigari the hunter, where he was actually killing all the animals and not killing them completely, partially killing them, still the animals were still struggling for life and all that. And he got the mercy of getting the association from who? Narada Muni. Okay? And through that association, Narada Muni actually transformed Mrigari from that heavy karmic duties that he was engaged in to become a devotee of the Lord. That's the power of devotional service. And in that process of going through devotional service with faith, sadhana bhakti, we practice sadhana bhakti. And sadhana bhakti, Lord Chaitanya actually says there are five main angas of sadhana bhakti. Lord Chaitanya tells Sanatana Goswami, one is, what is one anga? It's like serving the devotees of the Lord. Yeah. Two. Chanting the holy name, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing the Bhagavatam, okay, worshipping deities, and last one is living in a holy place of pilgrimage. So, applying these five angas of bhakti, that sadhana bhakti process, it actually then gets what? The purification process takes place. Cherto Dharpana Marjanam, where bit by bit, the cleansing process takes place. The material senses, bit by bit, are getting spiritualized. Yes? So the Guru is the link between material senses and how those material senses get transformed to spiritual senses. For 10 days, Lord Chaitanya was actually instructing Rupa Goswami now. Where? In Dashashwamedha Ghat in Prayag. And again, Lord Chaitanya imparted complete knowledge of Absolute Truth to Rupa Goswami. At the end of it all, it was time for Lord Chaitanya to go back to Puri. Rupa Goswami was so attached by the end of the 10 days to Lord Chaitanya. He then couldn't stand the separation. He approached the Lord and said, "My dear Lord, I want to follow you to Puri." But then Lord Chaitanya said, "No. Yes, being in my physical association is good, Vapu. But more than being in my physical association, my instructions are more important, which is Vani." What are the instructions that actually were imparted to Rupa Goswami by Lord Chaitanya? He said, "Go to Vrindavan, excavate the lost pastime places of Lord Krishna, build temples, establish deity worship standards, preach Krishna consciousness, and most importantly, write books." Right. And it is through their writings, as I said earlier, where all this real knowledge has now come down. And today we are so blessed to have so many literatures about Krishna consciousness at our disposal. Are we reading? Don't know. That's a personal question that you have to answer within yourself. Right? Similarly, so the instructions of a guru are more important than just being in the physical association of the Guru. In 1975, in Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan, when Prabhupada was there with his devotees, one devotee went to Prabhupada and said, "Oh Prabhupada, I always want to remain seated at your lotus feet." Prabhupada gave one witty answer, a very humorous answer. He said, "That may be difficult because I am always moving." Yes, Prabhupada was always moving, literally and figuratively. Literally, he never stayed still in one place. He was traveling the globe round and round and round, preaching Krishna consciousness. And figuratively, he was executing the instructions of his spiritual master. So as we go through with faith, through this process of sadhana bhakti, in the association and taking the instructions of our spiritual master, most of us are initiated. Those who are not initiated, you may be thinking, "Oh, I'm not initiated, so who's my spiritual master?" Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada. Take instructions from Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada, and as we are cleansing our heart, the sadhana bhakti will slowly elevate, will slowly come to the stage of bhava bhakti, prema bhakti. And when it comes to that stage, that's where the soul actually sees itself in its full glory in relation to Krishna. And the swarup, our constitutional position, is revealed. And when it is revealed, we don't see Krishna on the altar as just archa vigraha. We see Krishna in his real personal form. And that comes with a service attitude through the journey that we got to go through in practicing our sadhana. It says here, where it says, Sevan Mukhi, hey, due to the service attitude of the devotee, the Lord is revealed to him. Yes? And when the Lord is revealed to us, and it need not be, it doesn't mean we have to go all the way to the spiritual world, piercing through the material sky, and be there, and that is our goal, and that is our destination. Yes, in one sense. But purification, realizing the constitutional position of the soul, it can be even now while we are still here, because it is at that jiva level, the pure soul level. If you are a pure devotee now, you are now standing in front of the devotee, in front of the deities there, you are not looking at Krishna in his archa vigraha form, you would see Krishna in his personal form. And there's that notice out there on that board where Prabhupada actually mentioned here in Melbourne, as long as you offer yourself to be enjoyed by Krishna and serve according to his order, you are in the spiritual world, which means your soul is purified and you are actually seeing Krishna from that perspective. We are going through that journey. Every day we are putting in lots of endeavor to actually practice devotional service. We are chanting, we are following all the angas of bhakti that Lord Chaitanya has mentioned, has recommended. And we are trying. And we are trying hard to actually make advancement. But that trying needs to be with that service attitude, because it is that service attitude, that true humble mood of surrender, which says, my dear Lord, I'm really trying here. Please help me, show me your mercy that I can actually get purified. Eventually it has to happen with the causeless mercy of the Lord. And when that happens, when we are actually in that position, that spiritual platform, we will realize at that stage that we are actually spiritual beings having a human experience and not just human beings having a spiritual experience. See the difference? We want to come to the platform where we will know that we are spiritual beings having a human experience and not, like now, human beings trying to have a spiritual experience. The bliss that we get when we actually are with Krishna, his name, qualities, activities, paraphernalia, is so, so wonderful. The revealed scriptures have actually documented this, all the wonderful bliss that one can get, the jiva can get. We go to Vaikuntha, yes, you're surrounded by all the opulence of Lord Narayan. You go higher up, Ayodhya Dham, you go higher up, Dwaraka, Mathura Dham, you go all the way up to Goloka Dham, you will also see the sweetness of Swayam Bhagavan Krishna there. Demartha Swami, in the recent visit here, he touched on four unique sweet qualities that Krishna has that none of the personalities have. Only that Swayam Bhagavan Krishna has the four qualities, the four sweetness qualities, Madhurya, Ras. What are they? Leela Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, last one, Venu Madhurya. These four are unique only to Krishna. No one else, no other expansions, no other incarnations, no one, not even Lord Narayan has this. And it is so, so sweet, just if you take the flute, the Venu Madhurya. See, the scriptures in Canto 10, you would read, Bhagavatam reveals, just the flute itself, there are so many wonderful qualities and characteristics of the flute, which makes it so, so blissful just to hear about that. And in that, you get to see the sweetness of Krishna. He's got three main types of flutes. What are they? Vamsi, Murali, Venu. Three main mobile phones, Krishna's mobile phones. Right? And he got many, many sub-models from those three. Okay, he uses that to communicate with everybody. Venu is the shortest flute. It's about 6 inches long. It's got 6 holes. Okay. Vamsi is about 15 inches long. And Murali is about 18 inches long. And these flutes can be made of any type of material that Krishna chooses. They're made of precious jewels. They're made of marble. They're made of metal. They're made of bamboo. And when Krishna plays his flute, he's got specific notes to actually attract specific devotees or disciples, or he attracts everyone. But he enchants with his melodious tunes, ragas, through specific notes. Like when he plays the first note, he actually bewilders Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, even Ananda Shesh, upon whom all the planets are resting. He would start swaying, just hearing the first note of Krishna's flute. When Krishna plays the second note of his flute, Yamuna flows backwards. That's how intoxicated she becomes. All the rivers, they start flowing backwards. When he plays the third note, the moon stops moving. When he plays the fourth note, the cows and the calves, they all get stunned hearing these wonderful enchanting melodies, and their ears, they actually go up erect like they're cupped, and they are capturing that melodious sound of Krishna's flute music into their ears. The calves, when they drink the mother's milk from the udder of the mother cow, normally we would see calves are very agitated, they're very active. But hearing the sound of Krishna's flute, even they, such an active little entity, it would just be stunned with his ears upright, cupped. When he plays the fifth note, all the gopis, they abandon whatever that they're doing, they run madly to be in association. When he plays the sixth note, autumn is immediately created, autumn season, because it is a special season where he conducts his Rasalila. The hardest of stones will melt. When he plays the seventh note, all 6 seasons manifest immediately, simultaneously. Spring, summer, monsoon. What else? Autumn. Early winter, deep winter. That's how you get 6 seasons. Simultaneously they're there. And finally, when he plays the eighth note, the last note, who does he capture? Radharani becomes so bewildered that the kajal that she is meant to apply to the eyes, she will unconsciously apply to the face. The pearl necklace that she is meant to wear around her neck, she would like in an intoxicated way try to put that around her waist. The anklets that she is meant to wear around her ankles, she would unconsciously try to wear around her wrists. That's how he intoxicates all the Vrajavasis. And when every morning he wants to have his playtime with his little friends, the gopas, cowherd boys, he would actually play his flute first in the mornings. That's the alarm clock for all the gopas. When they hear the sound of Krishna's flute, all the boys, they quickly get up,
Like little Hayagriva there, you get up very early in the morning. Okay, do you jump out of your bed? Okay, when they hear Krishna's flute, they jump out very quickly. They tell their mothers, please dress me up quickly. I want to go and have my play time with Krishna. I want to go, I want to be with Krishna. I want to go into the forest. And even before they go into the forest, they rush their parents to give them breakfast and all that. They run across to Krishna's house where Mother Yashoda is actually dressing Krishna. And Vishal, for example, Vishal, one of the cowherd boys, he'll run there to Mother Yashoda's house. Mother Yashoda is actually in the midst of dressing Krishna. Krishna will use his flute and slap Vishal. They'll have a good laugh. Mother Yashoda will say, what is this, Krishna? I'm trying to dress you up. Stay still. Such sweet pastimes exchange is taking place. And mothers, you can relate to this. Your sons or your children, when they actually are attracted by someone else where they want to go and play, they do not stand still. Correct? Now you know where it comes from. So, so sweet. And all this starts from faith, knowing our journey, to practice Krishna consciousness, to apply ourselves with that service attitude, so that we can come to this stage where we can actually see Krishna anytime we want, like Narada Muni. Whenever he wants to see Krishna, Krishna appears. So in conclusion, we know this process of Krishna consciousness is real. It works. And what is the proof? You just need to look at yourself in the mirror and just think of the time before you became a devotee and now how you are looking at yourself in the mirror wearing tilak, devotional clothes, right? So we know where we were, we know where we are, the process works. So from where we are to go to where we want to be with Krishna, the process has to work. It therefore has to be with us to make it work. Krishna has done all these things of revealing himself by his causeless mercy in this material world. So it is now still up to us. We cannot just abandon it, our sadhana. We still got to continue. Some may think, I've been in Krishna consciousness for so many years, I'm just doing the same old thing, nothing happening to me. Something is happening every day. But for us to go, to dive deeper, to realize the nectar, it is up to our service attitude. And Daksha is realizing that. He changed his attitude as soon as he got this new body. Yes? We have got new bodies too. In this body that we think, we're looking in the mirror, we have got new bodies. How? Many who have got initiated, you have sat through the Yajna ceremony, correct? Yajna ceremony is what? To please Krishna and also to take rebirth. Just like what happened to Daksha. From material body, he got through this improper sacrificial ceremony. He came out with his intelligence intact in a different body with the head of a goat. But that was his rebirth. And he is now more elevated than how he was with the human head. Hare Krishna. Questions? Comments? Everybody is meditating on Krishna's flute. Yes, Prabhupada. Okay, the question is, every day we are doing these activities, these devotional activities, it's becoming habitual. And how do we actually put some ras into it? We have made that decision to actually become a practitioner of Krishna consciousness.
we have made that decision to get up early morning, which is a sacrifice. Okay? We have made that decision to actually chant 16 rounds, which is another sacrifice. Okay? We're going through so many sacrifices. So this has to be another sacrifice where we got to engage the mind before or even when you're doing any activity. You need to tell yourself, I'm doing this for Krishna's pleasure. It has to come from within, where you have to making it a mundane, instead of making it a mundane exercise of just sweeping the floor, that act of even simply, let's say now the Mataji is making garlands or making ghee wicks, it is simply a case of even through that activity, we got to consciously tell ourselves, I want to make this to the best of my ability to please or satisfy Krishna. When we take that service mood, then it doesn't become habitual, anything that you do, because you're consciously attempting to tell yourself, I want to please Krishna. Therefore, that beginning of that service, then you begin with that mood of, I am going to try my best to do this to the best of my capability to please Krishna. Any little thing that you do, whether you're cutting vegetables or whatever, you want to make sure that you're going to cut the vegetables to please Krishna. You want to make sure you want to cut to a size where it doesn't choke Krishna when he eats that vegetables. You're cutting vegetables for Krishna, not for feeding everybody who's coming here. So it has to be the size that would be just the right size to go into Krishna's mouth. It's not a mundane act of just cutting vegetables. You're thinking about how to please Krishna. You're cooking for Krishna, we're cooking halwa, whatever. It's not for just pleasing, putting into buckets and serving upstairs. It is, how will this halwa please Krishna? And when you're stirring, you're still thinking, I hope Krishna is happy with the halwa that is going to be prepared for him. It is the mood that we put into that activity. Does that answer in any way? Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, nature scripture is important in Srimad Bhagavatam or Krishna Charitamrita?
All revealed scriptures, all bona fide revealed scriptures are important. But for us, Bhagavatam is Amala Purana. Yes? Prabhupada said, if all the books in the world disappeared, and if only Bhagavatam remained, we'll still be okay. It doesn't mean Chaitanya Charitamrita is of lesser importance. It is still nectarian in every aspect. It's bona fide. And Prabhupada actually has stressed that Chaitanya Charitamrita is also important to be read by all of us. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.